like the times that we spent hiding out from the rain under the corner tent. Laughed and she'd smile, it would last for a while. You don't know what you got till you lose it all again. Listen to the
Talk with George Norrie. Call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free, 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And don't forget, of course, our very special What You See in the Rearview Mirror hotline, 818-817-0021. Well, looks like I'm going to give out not five books, but 10. Let me tell you why. First of all, Jim from Omaha, Nebraska, he was the first one in with the Not Yet, the movie, The Gladiator, of course, with Russell Crowe. So I'm going to send you, Jim, five books from my personal library collection here. We'll get them out to you. Tom has your email address, and he's going to contact you, and you can give him your address, and we'll get them right out to you. But also then, I started seeing a lot from Blade Runner, and my staff here says, yes, that was also said in Blade Runner. Not yet, not yet. So the first one in on that is a fellow by the name of Alex, who happens to work, by the way, for Halliburton, of all companies. And Alex, the books retail for $24.95. I shall then sell them to you for $800 a piece, and as much as you work for Halliburton. I'm kidding, Alex, but we will. We've got your email address, too, and we'll get them right out to you. So we'll be back in a moment, and we'll have one more hour of Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. I'll tell you, great Fast Blast coming in tonight. Maybe one day I'll do a full four-hour show and just read Fast Blasts to you. Would you like that? I'm in a strange mood. Let's go to our hotline on Rearview Mirrors. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, Mr. Norrie, how are you?
I'm fine, my friend. Where are you calling from?
This is John from Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Hey, John, Fort Bragg.
Yep, Vietnam.
You got it.
I called on the hotline for seeing things in the rear view, but I'm actually a first-time caller that would just like to relate a strange story to you.
Okay.
It was years ago. I was 8 years old, and I attended a Baptist church, which is quite large around here. And me and my friend went to a bathroom that was located near the back, near the stage in the cafeteria. And as we walked towards the bathroom door, I said, "Wait, there's someone in there." I didn't say it. It's like something took over my body and made me say it. And as soon as I said it, the bathroom flushed, and out the door walked a man in a black suit that must have stood 8 feet tall at least. And something prevented us from looking at his face. Like, with his mind, he kept us from seeing what his face looked like. And in that split second, he vanished or disintegrated in a million colors off to our left, like he was made of sand and wind blew him away, like he teleported or something.
He was just gone, poof, off
yes.
He went.
I ran into this friend, I'm 22 now, and I ran into him in the local community college, and I asked him to tell me what we saw so I wouldn't think I was crazy.
Right.
And he told me exactly what I remembered seeing.
Same thing.
Yes, sir.
Did he think about it over all those years?
We never really knew what to make of it because he seemed so solid or physical, yet we thought he was a ghost when we were children. But as we grew older, we learned about the men in black and interdimensionals and stuff like that.
And that's probably what it could have been.
But yeah, it seemed like he teleported off.
Yep. Hey, thanks for the story.
Yes, no problem.
You take care. Mm-hmm. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
New Hampshire. This is Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Hi. I just had a question. I know you've probably talked about this a million times, and I've only been listening for about 6 months.
Okay, I'll do the best I can for you.
Yeah, so I really, I keep seeing 11 on the clock, the digital, you know.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, well, I thought it was just me until I started listening to your show, and some lady had called in and said that she was having that happening to her, but you didn't go into it. You said something about that it's an enlightenment or whatever. And then I was like, wow, this is happening to other people. I can't believe it. You know, and I started looking it up, and it says stuff about angels. And it's driving me crazy. And I don't know if there's any information that you can give me that will help.
I'm going to send you to a website. Just remember this. It's easy. Numberslady.com.
Yeah, I mean, I've been there. I heard that show.
Now, she should have an explanation on that.
Oh, she does?
I think so.
Okay.
There's also another one. Oh, if I can remember. I tell you what, rather than me
you don't want to.
I'm gonna check it first during the break when it comes up.
Okay.
There's another website devoted exclusively to 1111.
And, is it the one with the gate?
I think it's like Solaris or Solaris.
Yeah, that one.
That
right.
One, yeah.
Like a gate. There's a certain
yes.
Gate thing or something.
Yeah, she was a 1 hour guest about a year and a half ago when this was starting to happen to me. I mean, I still see it. It's everywhere.
That's what happened a year ago.
I'll sit down at a computer. I'll see 1111. I'll sit down at. I'll look at. You know how your cell phone has a
exactly,
time
yes.
thing on it.
Yeah.
I'll look at it and same thing.
Yep.
It's everywhere.
Clock, the cable box. You're driving down the street and the clock at the bank and it's just everywhere. And I don't know if it's something that I need to be paying attention to or is something. Is it trying to tell me that I need to be doing something with something or?
It's not a bad thing, whatever it is.
But how do you know it's not?
Well, because things have been going well for me and some other people who keep seeing this. How about you?
No, they have actually. I mean, everything seems to be going really good. And
yeah,
I had moved to Florida for a couple months, and it stopped happening. And then I moved back to New Hampshire.
And,
it's
up
happening
again.
Again.
That's interesting.
So I'm not sure if, okay, well, maybe that means that I'm back on track or something.
Maybe.
This is a good sign.
Maybe.
But some people it's been happening to for 10 years. So I'm like, well, gee, it's been happening to for 10 years. Must not really be anything. It's just a coincidence. I don't know. I don't know what the connection is. And it's just driving me crazy.
All right, we'll turn Sean loose on it tonight, see if he can dig up that website just so we have it for sure.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, Kim. I'm sorry I couldn't be more explicit, but I think it is enlightenment. It's a good thing. Things happen to you, I think. It's not quite like the number 8, but it's pretty darn good. East of the Rockies, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah.
This is Jim from Illinois. How's
Jim, you? Whereabouts in Illinois?
Berwyn, listening on WLS.
Sure. Good to have you with us.
Yes. Well, I have a story that's pretty strange. I can't explain it. About my ex-girlfriend's cat. She had kittens, and tragically all the kittens died, and every time a kitten died she'd wrap it up in cloth and write the kitten's name on it, then bury the kitten around this plant in her backyard. Well, the kittens eventually formed a circle, and she really loved them and was terribly grief-stricken, so she was praying to God that they wouldn't be rotten and be eaten by insects. And a few months later the soil around the plant was dug up because I can't remember why, but they had to get rid of the plant. And when it was all dug up, there wasn't a single kitten there.
Not one?
Not one.
That's strange.
Indeed.
That's a great story. Excellent story. Short, to the point, and kind of mysterious. Let's go to our first time caller line. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah.
Hi. Sandy from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, you.
Good.
I'm hoping you can tell me what this means. I was walking up the stairs today in my home, and a penny just fell out of nowhere from above me.
Ooh, do we know someone who's passed on? That's what they say, pennies and buttons.
Really?
Yeah. Somebody's trying to just give you a message from the other side.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, I have my brother. I've had a friend, a sister.
Question is, which one is doing this?
While I was upstairs, like 3 years ago, I heard someone whispering my name, just whispering Sandy, and no one was home. And I looked all around. I thought, you know, what can you think? You just go on and do what you're doing. So that's what that means. Someone is trying to get in touch.
Yeah, it's just kind of like plopped right out of nowhere, huh?
Absolutely. I just felt something come beside me, and I looked down at my feet, and there was this penny on the floor. And I checked to see maybe I had pockets and a little hole in it or something. There was no pockets. So I was in something that had no pockets.
And if you start seeing buttons all over the place, it's the same thing.
Okay.
Too bad.
So is this a good or a bad thing?
No, it's a good thing. Too bad they don't drop gold coins on us, though.
You know,
no,
it's
just pennies. They give us pennies.
It was one penny. Yeah, and it just kind of freaked me out, and I thought, what can this possibly mean? And I thought, well, George will know.
Yep, that's what it is.
Someone trying to let me know something.
That things are okay, generally.
Oh, that things are okay?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that is good. That's
okay.
Very good.
You got it.
Okay, thanks, George.
All right, bye.
Hi.
Hey, by the way, Sean, once you find the right website you like on that 1111, put some kind of link up on the website, if you would, for people over the weekend, and maybe that'll help some people who are seeing that all the time. Rear view mirror story, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, this is Steve, and I'm calling from Sacramento.
Hey, Steve.
I am a retired road bus driver, driving, you know, out of Los Angeles to Las Vegas, Phoenix, Arizona, and places like that.
Not a bad drive, huh?
Not a bad drive at all. But one night I got a call to take an empty bus to Las Vegas. So I go out, you know, the bus yard, I find the bus, I get in it, start it up, not thinking, and I jump on Interstate 10, headed towards San Bernardino.
In an empty bus.
In an empty bus, I thought.
Yeah.
And so I looked in the mirror. You know, we got a mirror there to be sure the passengers are sitting if you're getting ready to get off or slam on a brake. So I looked up in the mirror, and somebody was looking at me. Now, I didn't have a whole bunch of time to make any kind of drastic action, but there was an off-ramp coming up. I hit the off-ramp, hit the brakes, locked the bus down with the maxi brakes, opened the door, and I was gone. I didn't know what to do. And when they see a bus pulled over like that, Highway Patrol comes and he...
They stop right away, don't they?
Right away. But it was someone in that bus. I don't know. I didn't want to know who they were or what they were doing, but the police brought them off and told me it was okay. And from that day to this one, I don't get in any vehicle without looking.
Did you go back into that bus?
Yeah, I went back into the bus and continued on to Las Vegas in the empty bus. Evidently, the guy got in there to get a nap or something, or either he was on there from when they...
From the get-go.
Yeah, from when they dropped the people in L.A., I mean, you know, and then I'm moving equipment, so maybe the driver didn't check, didn't wake him up.
How did he get off there?
Well, the police brought him off.
Oh, they took him off.
Yes, they took him off, but it shocked me so bad. Can you imagine if I would have made it all the way to the desert and looked up and seen this guy looking at me?
You would have been freaking all the way.
And I heard the rear view mirror stories, and that's one, an old bus driver know what I'm talking about.
They're everywhere.
Yeah,
thanks.
Check the bus before you take off.
You got that right.
There somebody in there.
Okay, thanks for the story.
Thank you.
They're everywhere. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Fine.
I really enjoy your show. I've been listening to you for 2-3 weeks now. I work a third shift. I drive for a local newspaper here in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Oh, really? Okay.
And you know, it's been very entertaining, and very, I really enjoyed your show last night. But to get on, that's to the point that I've got a vehicle that increases in mileage.
It increases in mileage? Instead of getting older and decreasing, this one gets better?
It's really weird. Let me explain this to you.
Okay.
I'm very adamant about changing oil in my car, and so I'm always looking at the odometer, and I always set the trip mile to keep track of gas mileage. And
yeah.
One morning, I know I parked the car about 7 o'clock after getting off work, and I, you know, went inside, took a shower, went to bed. I got up that afternoon to go to my classes over here at the community college, and I happened to look down the odometer, and it said that the car has been driven 35 miles. and really at first I thought, I was like, okay, maybe my fiance drove the car, you know, maybe that would give some logical explanation. But, you know, I talked to her when I got back, and she was like, listen, man, I got my Jeep. I don't need to drive your car. And this has kind of been going on for about 2 weeks now. And it's really strange. It's kind of creepy all at the same time.
It is creepy because you and I both know odometers don't move forward without that car moving.
Exactly. With my mechanical background, I know it's just not possible. And I've even went to the extent of actually locking the keys into a lockbox with the combination. And it's still yet. It never fails. My car increases in mileage. I can't explain it. I don't think there's... I mean, it almost reminds me of that movie, Christine.
I was going to say, the Stephen King movie.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and it's really weird. I'm kind of excited that I get to share this with you. And after the whole rear view incident or the stories that are going on here tonight, I thought this would be one I could really share with you that, you know, you could enjoy, so could everybody else.
You got a car that's alive.
I know it. It's amazing. I love it. Yeah, I'm kind of proud of it in a sense, I guess.
Well, you took care of it, so now it just decided to do something on its own. Here's the question, though. Where does it go when everybody's asleep?
You know what? I really don't want to know. I really don't want to know.
Just as long as it comes home.
As long as it comes home, as long as it knows its way back to the house, we don't have a problem.
That's a great story. Thanks.
All right, George, you have a nice evening.
Okay. Can you imagine driving because... I have some people are short. And sometimes when they sit in a car and if they sit back a little bit, you can't see them when you're behind them. And you swear to God that this car is driving itself, to the point where it's so frustrating, you have to pull up alongside to see if you see someone. And then you see a little old man in there who normally they put their hands on top of the steering wheel, remember, and they go really slow. But that's happened to me a lot, too. Let's go to West of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hello. Where are you calling from?
Portland, Oregon.
Portland. KEX.
Yes.
Great station.
Anyway, I want to call and talk to you about a rearview mirror sighting I had several years ago.
Sure, what happened to you?
I was driving close to home. I have a van. I was looking in my rearview mirror to kind of see the traffic behind me. And I saw a young man, probably in his teens, sitting in my seat behind the passenger seat. And he looked like he came from a different era in that, maybe the 30s or something, from the shirt attire
right. And
the way his hair was. And I thought, well, who's in my car? So I glanced around behind me, and he was gone, of course.
Yeah, they're never there when you turn around.
No. And about within a few seconds later, it occurred to me that that person actually was a splitting image of pictures I'd seen of my father when he was a young man.
That's strange.
And my father, of course, had already passed away several years before that. So it was really, it was just a neat feeling to know that he was there with me.
Yeah, and I guess he decided he wanted to take on the image, the shape of when he was that age.
Probably, yeah.
Because I think we have a choice like that.
Yeah, I think so. So that was really a great thing that happened.
Comforting, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, thanks for the story.
Thanks, bye.
Appreciate it. You know, we've still got another half hour to go of open lines, so don't get left out. We'll give you those phone numbers, but the very special one for the rear view mirror line. You can call that on any line, but I mean just this line for the rear view mirror, 818-817-0021. And looking at some of my fast blasts, boy, I sure hope there weren't other movies other than, of course, The Gladiator and Blade Runner that said, not yet, not yet. Or I'll be giving out books for the next 10 years. Back in a moment.
Talk with George Norrie. Call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, Sean has posted on the coasttocoastam.com website under features the link to the 1111 information. So those of you who are seeing this number, go ahead and take a look at it. By the way, right at the end of this hour, Dr. Morgis will join us briefly with a few more of his words of wisdom. I think this one he's going to talk about the City of the Dead. Is he not, Karis? That's what it will be. Let's go back to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, this is Mike from Las Vegas.
Mike, how's things in Vegas?
Hey, Vegas is always Vegas.
And,
yeah, I
what,
called...
And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Oh, most definitely. Well, I called you April 1st. I was the one who had the precognitive dreams.
Yeah, was that going to be an April Fool's joke on me,
no,
or was that true?
And I sent you an email.
Okay.
About this volcano I saw that was going to erupt.
Yes.
And, okay, let me go further.
Is that the one maybe that's going on, those that are going on in Indonesia?
Yeah, and I posted, I think April 2nd, I wrote you an email just to have a verification that, you know, that I'm seeing this.
Well, you did. I mean, I'll verify that.
Okay, but in that vision, now this is the weird part. I was standing there with my mother, and we didn't know where we were at, and I knew it was an island. But I kept focusing on this, like, volcano that looked like it was steaming with a big crack in it. But my mom was so confused where we're at, she wasn't really paying attention. But I was so focused on this one thing. And it started with a P, but I couldn't really get it. But what happened is I grabbed my mom's upper arm so she can look and pull her and say, look, Mom, look at this volcano. When, you know, if this would have go off, all these people here, it'd be, you know, a disaster.
It's gone, yeah.
Yeah, so I ignored it and just see what happens. I think a couple days ago I heard something about this on the CBS News program.
I'm sure you did.
And on that day, my mom and this is now in reality 2 weeks later, my mom has my handprint on her upper arm where I grabbed her in the dream.
Now,
and it's
that's
bruise.
Strange.
And it's exactly reenacted how I stood.
You've got some powerful dreams, my friend.
Well, they're kind of scary if that can conjure up out of a dream.
I wonder if we can get you to start dreaming pleasant things.
Well, I do have pleasant dreams, but, I mean, these are like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but, you know, I'll just keep you posted and
okay,
email you.
Okay, please. I appreciate that.
And great show, George. Yeah, great show.
Do a good job, and yes, you have gone on record as saying that there are going to be a series of volcanoes. And, you know, that's what's happening out there now. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
This is Allison from Arizona.
Hi, Allison.
Yeah, and I was just calling because I was listening earlier. There was a man on talking about a Man in Black story.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a similar story to that.
Tell me.
Okay, well, what happened was is I was laying in bed at night, and I wasn't asleep yet. There was enough moonlight filtering through my bedroom window, and I saw a man appear. He was dressed in black, and he was about 8 foot tall. Now, that's what really struck me when I was listening to your previous caller describe this man. And he was solid. It wasn't like a ghost-like, mist-like, you know. This was just a solid man. I was so scared that I screamed, woke my husband up, woke my child up, and thought there was actually maybe a robber that broke into our house.
An 8 foot robber, huh?
An 8 foot robber, right. It was pretty extreme, but at the same time, I knew it was solid. This was a solid man. And I remember he did have facial hair as well, so I remember those details. And I was so scared that my husband looked through the entire house. We found absolutely nothing, but I made him drive around the neighborhood till about 7 o'clock that morning. And when the light was out and he absolutely had to go to work, I did not want
to. What was he going to do if he found an 8 foot robber?
Now, that I don't know. The interesting thing is when he flicked on the lights, the man disappeared. But I did not see any kind of kaleidoscope of colors or anything like the previous caller described. So I'm wondering what exactly it was that I did see.
Something dimensional. It's got to be.
Is that what it is?
They're leaking through. Did you notice if it was aware of you?
I noticed it was looking down, but it wasn't looking directly at me. So it wasn't in shock or anything when I screamed.
Some people report that they noticed them. Others say no. So I don't know what's going on there.
Well, have you heard about the string theory? Do you believe in that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. With Dr. Michio Kaku being one of the originators of that theory. Yep, I sure do.
I wonder if that maybe could be what it is.
Could be.
Just an interesting bit I thought I'd share because I never heard a story like mine as far as the height and everything. So.
You are not hallucinating.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. You have a good night.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
I just want to say I drive a taxi cab overnight and I enjoy your show.
Whereabouts?
Cincinnati.
Okay.
Last night I heard a guy call about a dream that he had about his father, and it reminded me of a dream that I had that still sends goosebumps down my spine when I talk about it. My father died when I was 11, and when I was in my early 20s, maybe 23, 24 years old, I had a dream that was just so real. My mother lived in the country, and it was a long gravel lane come back to her house. And we were sitting in the living room, my mother and my brothers and my sister, and you can see out the living room window up the lane to the country road. And we saw somebody walking down the lane. And as this person got closer to the house, we saw it was my dad. And he walked in, sat down in the living room with us, and just asked us how what we all were doing and everything, and stayed about, I don't know, it seemed like it was just a few minutes, and said, well, I have to go now, and got back up and walked up the lane. And man, goosebumps just ran up and down.
I would say,
I'm
man,
telling you that.
What a comforting thought, though, huh?
It was unbelievable, and it was like, it was, probably 13 and maybe 15 years after he died. Never had a dream like that before and never since. That's been 25 years ago.
I love it. Be safe out there. Thanks.
Take care. Bye.
Take care. Well, everybody, I want you to know, looks like Oscar tried to put in a call to us tonight, and with a very, very strange message. He was not going on the air tonight at his insistence, simply saying he needed permission from his father. His father is Satan, and he went away. Now, I also want you to know we are in the process, because this guy is creepy, whoever he may be, or whatever he may be. We may have an exorcist with us next week, next Friday, in the event Oscar calls in. Oscar is becoming a little more aggressive. I think he probably will call in, because somehow he knows what we're saying on this program. But for those of you waiting around for Oscar tonight, he did call, but he did not have permission to go on the air tonight from, as he said, quote, his father, unquote. To the phones we go. East of the Rockies. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes.
Paul in Cincinnati.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Great. How are you, George?
Yes. Jerry Springer lives out there, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Runs around there somewhere.
He's from here.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about how almost every night you have someone call in with a story about an attack from a negative entity.
True.
And it takes various forms. But I found a way, actually I read about a way for people to protect themselves from that kind of attack. What you need to do is just take a fresh garlic clove and cut it a few times.
Almost like they did in the old vampire movies, huh?
Right, exactly. It sounds like that. But just place that in your, like a few feet from you on a table or something. And I had never been attacked, by a negative entity, but I had had bad dreams. And I've noticed that this will prevent bad dreams also. But I think this war, I found out about this from, you remember David Wilcock?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, David almost was on the show tonight, first hour. He's going to be at this expo in San Francisco next week.
Well, have you read his book, The Reincarnation of Edgar King?
Oh, absolutely. Yep, yep.
It's one of the most inspirational books.
And he looks just like him, by the way.
Yes. But now his source is called Raw.
Yeah.
And there's another book. There's a book out called The Law of One, The Law of One, The Raw Material. That book was talked about on your show previously.
It sure was.
With Art. That's where I found out this information. But it's supposed to, clear these entities out from a house, if you will.
Just the garlic. Wonder why, though. Why that?
It was not really explained, but apparently they cannot stand that smell.
I tell you what, it'll prevent you from getting dates, too.
Well, it's a trade-off.
You got it. Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
I mean, it is interesting in the old vampire movies where they talked about cloves of garlic. You make them like a necklace and things like that. So if that's true, who knows? Let's go to our rear-view mirror line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah, what's up?
My name is Rich. I'm driving through Nashville and listening to you on XM Radio.
Sure. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I wanted to share a story with you about when I lived in Hawaii a few years back.
Okay.
I was driving down the highway with a friend of mine. He had been out drinking. I was a designated driver, and he was passed out in the passenger seat. I was driving along, and I glanced up in the rearview mirror, and there was a guy sitting in my back seat wearing a green and red striped sweater. And I just completely freaked out. I just started swerving all over the road. Fortunately, there wasn't anybody around me. Of course, I turned around. Nobody was there. I looked back in the mirror. He was still sitting there, just staring me straight in the eye. And this happened a couple times, and eventually I turned around probably about the third time, and finally he wasn't there anymore. I couldn't wake my friend up to tell him about what I had seen, but it was one of the scariest things I've ever been through in my life.
Hope not to repeat it, huh?
Hopefully not.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. We've got about 4 more minutes to go for Morgus, but we'll take some more of your calls right now. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Elton from Ohio.
Elton, welcome.
I've got a story I'd like to relate to you. 4 years ago, my wife and I had an RV that we loaded up with all our belongings and moved to South Carolina. While we were in South Carolina, the RV broke down, so we put it in storage. Got a ride back to Ohio with our daughter and decided to stay up here. Well, in my desk at our house, I had a mastodon and an angel. Took the mastodon out of the desk, put it on my shelf. A few days later, my granddaughter had a party at her house, and my mastodon disappeared. Didn't think too much about it. I kind of missed it.
You figured a kid stole it, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Turns out we had to move. We're moving again. We packed everything up. I was laying on my bed, and I was thinking about that mastodon, how much I really wanted that back. And I'm like, where could that thing be? The next day, we got a letter from the storage place in South Carolina that we had to get our RV out of there. Well, I decided to sell the RV, but we went down to get our belongings out. 600 miles away, we bring everything back, put it in the kitchen, started going through it. It was in a 20-pound bucket, opened it up. Sitting on top of a Cool Whip box was an angel that was with the mastodon.
That's incredible.
I opened that Cool Whip box, and the mastodon was in it.
And there's no way it could have gotten there.
No way. We haven't been there in 4 years.
That is unbelievable.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Stranger than science, I'll tell you.
It really shook me up.
All right, thanks for the story.
Thank you, George.
What strange mysteries. We can write books just from calls that come in. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Hi, you're up for a few minutes.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
This is Rob from southeastern Arizona.
Hey, Rob.
Well, you know how you say you get that 1111?
Yeah.
I get phone calls and it's 111. It's just all ones. And it's strange. It's been doing that for about, 6 months. And then I try to get online here or get, and it wasn't working. I counted to myself, let me just try this 111 thing. And then at the end of the one, I dialed and I got through.
You got through?
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah, I got to try that with the lottery or something like that. But anyway, the thing I was calling about was this thing of synchronicity that happened. For about a week, I kept seeing the Eye of Horus everywhere. If it was a piece of string on the ground, it was the shape of the Eye of Horus.
Okay.
Just and things that I'd see in a picture or something. Then I saw and I showed my son. I said, look at that. There's a piece of black string on the ground. And he said, yeah, you're right. It looks like that.
Looks like an eye, yeah.
And then we were going to go with him and a friend of his to see this Boston game. And they were going to play the Diamondbacks. And so I was feeling really lucky. And I did some research and I found that the angel to talk to about, traveling was Raphael. So, I did some talking to him, and on the way over there, everything was going smoothly, but there was this terrible accident. And we were held back about 45 minutes. But then when we finally got to Phoenix, it just seemed like everything was working perfect. So we went, there's this one hotel that we usually stay at, but we're going to do it that time because we're staying with my brother's fiance. And I parked in the parking lot. But they don't like people parking there because they go to the game and they don't pay or they're not guests. So as we're walking away from the car, and we had caps on and they have the gloves, so anyone would figure like, hey, they're going to the game.
Right, and I got 30 seconds for you.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's like I found this card key. A guy came by and said, are you guys guests? And I showed him the card key because it was just on the ground. I just found it. He goes, oh, okay then. So we walked down. We were walking by, some guy drove up and said, hey, you want 2 tickets? I said, I got some. So they're free. They were like they're like 20 seats away from home plate. So then we got those. We got in there. We sat like 10 seats away from Muhammad Ali. It was the pictures we wanted. And he's like, everything was working perfectly. Just bam, 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 like that.
It's all synchronicity, isn't it, Dr. Morgus?
I live in the city of the dead, a cemetery where nothing is said, where houses of stone entombs every bone, and no one has to be fed. It's so cheap to live underground, without rent and creditors around. We never pay taxes, therefore never grind axes. That alone is hard to be found. But it does get cold now and then, when the slime and the rain ooze in. I tried to plug up the hole, but ended up growing more mold. Perhaps you might visit someday to see what it's like in this clay. I got here by not following the rule, by ignoring my teachers in school. If you find this beyond your belief, you are doomed for a mountain of grief. So beware, don't forget what I said, or you'll be next in the city of the dead.
Yep, www.morgus.com. He's our buddy, my boyhood idol, to tell you the truth. He's now going to be in television again in New Orleans on Channel 10 on your cable network. How about that? For Kiris Coburn, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Harry Shelley, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, and Sean Ladasur, I'm George Norrie. And Ardell, of course. Have a great weekend, everyone.